today as we come to the table.
The way that God has created gravity between the two back and forth. I think it's exciting. God says you can go this far and you can go no farther. But notice he calls the waves proud. You know, it's interesting to me when it talked about the waves being proud, and it's almost as if when they come to the shore, you see the ocean, and as the waves come in, they begin to swell up. You know, look at me, right? Here I am. And depending on where you are, they get larger and they come in. But right before they make it to land, God said, now here's the limit. Your proud waves may swell, but here's the limit. And what happens? Right before they get to where their limit is, they swell up and they once again bow down to the one who has given them the limits. What a beautiful picture God has made, even in creation.
I love to sit near the water and watch the waves, don't you? The gentle rhythmic sound of the water creates feelings of peace and serenity. And the vastness of the ocean offers a unique perspective of how small my life truly is. But I never contemplated that the very rise and fall of the waves spoke to God's reign over the world. Did you? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark is going to explore the incredible power of our God that is displayed all through creation. Even the rhythm of the wave is a testament to God's mighty reign on the earth. No matter how proud a wave may be, eventually it bows before the Creator. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Genesis chapter 1, as we cover today, verses 9 through 19, and we look at creation day 3 and 4. And so we'll read through it together, and then after we read through it together, we'll go back and look at it a little bit more intimately. Notice he says there in verse 9, and then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yielded seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And so it was. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Father, how we look forward to examining day 3 and day 4 of your creation. Lord, as we saw day 1 and day 2 and just amazed at your greatness and your power, Lord, we continue to see your glory. And I pray that as we look at these 2 days, Lord, that you spent, Lord, putting the oceans and the lands in place where you wanted them to be and placing the stars in the heavens. God, just give us in our mind an ability to grasp how great you are. Lord, how vast you are. Your power and your glory. And I pray that even as you stretched out the heavens, Lord, that you would stretch out our view of you, our view of our God, that we might see you in your fullness and in your greatness. And so, Lord, we invite you now to show your creative power here this morning as you, Lord, create a new heart in us and open our eyes by your Holy Spirit to know your word and to understand your word, Lord, and to see you as you are in your glory. We thank you, Lord, and we ask your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We saw day 1 and day 2, and I'm not going to waste a lot of time going back. We're going to press right on into day 3 and day 4, and there's so much to cover today. I want to jump right into it. And notice here he says in verse 9, Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Now remember last week, we saw that God just spoke everything into existence. And we talked about it. There it was, these waters, the deep covering the earth. And in the center of this deep was this land mass that was buried under all the oceans. You know, this in the lower parts of the earth there, until God took that and began to push it upward to make areas on top, to make the dry land appear and all of that. And so we saw God create, if you will, everything before him on the earth. But now we see him begin to get more detailed. He begins to form it. We talked a lot about how the potter takes the clay and he plops that big thing of clay down on the thing and begins to spin it. Well, God plopped the earth out, began to spin it as we have in our rotation, and then began to form and shape. And so now we see God calling to the seas and the land to jut up through the center of the earth and to manifest itself. And he says, the dry land appeared and it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas, and God saw that it was good. So again, notice here on day three, he does several things. And the first thing I want to take note of here is notice what he does. He sets the boundaries for the ocean. Now think about that. Aren't you glad God did that? Because by him setting boundaries for the ocean, we know exactly where the ocean's going to be. And that way we know where we're going to be. And there's no confusion there. And that's very important, as you know. It's interesting. And speaking of God setting the boundaries for the oceans, in Job 38, verses 8 through 11, notice what it says. It says, or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and the thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit, notice that. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther. And here your proud waves must stop. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like you go to the ocean, you see the ocean, this huge, massive, you know, water mass coming toward it, and it comes to the land, and it just kind of stops. It comes in, these big waves swell up as they come to land, and they crash, and then they go back, and the only variance between them is when the tides come in and out, depending on where we are in relation to the moon, as far as our orbit, and the moon controls where the oceans are, back and forth, and the way that God has created gravity between the two, back and forth. I think it's exciting. God says, you can go this far, and you can go no farther, but notice he calls the waves proud. You know, it's interesting to me when it talked about the waves being proud, and it's almost as if when they come to the shore, you see the ocean, and as the waves come in, they begin to swell up. You know, look at me, right? Here I am, and depending on where you are, they get larger, and they come in. But right before they make it to land, God said, now here's the limit. Your proud waves may swell, but here's the limit. And what happens? Right before they get to where their limit is, they swell up, and they once again bow down to the one who has given them the limits. What a beautiful picture God has made, even in creation. You know, we just sang that song that even the seas will bow down. They do. Every time the tide comes in, their proud waves swell. But before they get to the boundaries, they bow down as they roll over, bowing down to the Lord, even in nature. You know, it's exciting when you think about nature and even nature itself worshiping God. The Bible says that nature itself brings glory to God. And I think about even the trees as they grow upward and their leaves and their branches and their arms reach out as if they're reaching up and saying, this is to our Creator. Look what you've done. You know, and when the wind blows, it's like kind of like a good praise set, you know, and they're just kind of doing this kind of thing, you know, back and forth. And it's a tremendous thing here. And so the Lord says, you know, I created you. I gave you your proud waves, but I've set the boundaries for you. And also notice that God now forces the land up from the lower parts of the earth. Now, this is interesting. It appears you had this big wall of water surrounding the entire earth. It says it was the deep we saw earlier last week. And now he takes this landmass that's buried down in the center of the earth and begins to force it up to the surface. And dry land now appears and all. And I find this extremely interesting in light of something David said in Psalm 139 that I've never understood. Psalm 139, I've never really understood till this week. It's one of those verses you always read and you say, God, what in the world does this mean? And I remember praying just recently saying, I'd like to know what that means, Lord. What does it mean? And let me just read it to you. Notice Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16. David says this, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That has always bugged me. How could David have been skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth? Notice he goes on and says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Now David was very literally originally from the lowest parts of the earth. And you might say, but wait a minute, Mark, how? Note this, when God formed Adam, it says that he took the dirt and the clay that had been, we see here in Genesis, forced up from the lowest parts of the earth, he formed Adam and made him into a man. And so literally, man, we come from the lowest parts of the earth, made of the substance that God created that once was covered by this surrounding of water. And so when David said, having this great understanding, I'm sure being revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, Lord, even when I was in the lowest parts of the earth, you knew me. What an amazing verse. Now think about it. Not only that he created us from this dirt that we're from and that we came from the lower parts of the earth, but it's also exciting that when we were just a thought in the center of the earth's crust in creation, God knew us. And David says, my days were already numbered. Isn't that amazing? What a God that we serve. Our minds can't seem to grasp this. But from the very center of this dirt, this crust in the middle of the earth, God already saw you. You know, you ever feel like dirt? Well, you are, but relax. It's all right. Because in one way, we really are, but God knew when we were literally dirt that he had a plan for our life. And some of you this morning might say, you know, God can't use me, man. I'm nothing but dirt. Well, God knows that. He's the one made you from the lower parts of the earth. He knows what you're made of. He made Adam. Everything was created from there. It all came from that origin and spread out. But God knows that he has a plan for our life. It goes beyond the lower parts of the earth. It goes beyond the dirt. It goes into what God has for our life and this wonderful creation. It's amazing just to see God's creative power and to realize everything that goes into it. And notice he says here in verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. Now note that, on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now notice what God does next. He brings all the dirt, all the land up to the surface, which he will form everything, every beast of the field, even man himself, and all these things that God will use after he's created this big ball of clay, if you will, now to mold the rest of creation. And God calls forth grass and plants all over the earth to grow, as well as trees that bear fruit. And notice this, it says, with their seed already in them. That is, the seed was there. God created it that way from the instant that he created it. Now, here's another reason evolution has a tough time and is so absurd in light of nature and of the testimony of nature. In the time it would take for the trees and plants to figure out they need to reproduce and evolve, to reproduce themselves, they would have all died out. In other words, if the seed was not already there the moment they were created, they could never have gone on. There wouldn't have been another seed. There wouldn't have been another plant. And even again, as we see here when we get to day 5, when we see God creating all the creatures on the earth, we see that there had to be those little insects that pollinate everything. And without them to be on the scene, shortly after these trees appeared, then everything couldn't have been pollinated. And so you see, when God created, every part was so needed at that moment, you didn't have time to wait. You couldn't put it off until later. There couldn't have been millions of years between because it couldn't have lived. It couldn't have survived. And so again, creation itself is a testimony to the Lord. God created everything ready to go or none of it could have gone. Now, again, it's also interesting to note here, and I'm not suggesting that this in any way builds in millions of years. I don't believe that. But it is interesting to note here that God created with at least some time factors already built in from day one. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, certainly not millions of years, but the trees and plants were already mature and producing seed the day they were made. You know, if you take a young little sapling and you put it in the ground, it takes a while before it's going to grow, and then a while before it's going to produce seed. But these were ready. They were like, poof, I mean, insta-earth, insta-trees, insta-grass. You know, the kind of thing you want for your yard when you build it. You know, you can either plant seed and wait forever or put the sod out, you know, and that just kind of drop it down. It's done. God just put sod. He just unrolled it. And there it is, trees, plants, we're done, we're ready to move in. What an amazing God. Again, I like his landscaping plan. That makes me happier anyway. But we see that God did the same thing with Adam. Remember, Adam was not created as a baby. Adam was created with time factors already there on day one. Already. When Adam was created, he wasn't created as a baby. Adam was a full-grown man. And if when Adam was created, if you could have taken Adam to a doctor, of course you had to create the doctor first, but technicalities. Had you had a doctor there, take Adam to the doctor and say, okay, how old is this guy? Well, I mean, you know, we don't know how old he was, but let's full grown man, let's say 30, just, you know, throw some number out there. You know, whatever. I don't know how old he was. But they give a name. No, today. He was born today. What? Yes, today. So when God created, at least to some degree, there were already time factors already figured in. Now, what to what extent God did that, I don't know. And it's interesting, though. I'm not saying this justifies the teaching of extended time. I'm simply saying that we know that even things created on day one, if you were to test them, would appear much older than they really are. And so again, we see that God did that with creation. We see that he did it with man himself. This passage is exciting to me in a lot of different ways. You know, as I said, we see God kind of unrolling this big carpet around the earth and getting it ready to go. It's exciting to see God preparing the earth and making it ready for man. Now, we won't see man come along until day six, but you know, as a parent, this brings a lot to mind. I mean, notice what this father does. He creates the sun for warmth, the stars for beauty. He dresses the ground with greenery. He makes the trees and plants produce food. It reminds me of when we were getting ready to bring home our first baby. It's almost as if God's preparing the room to bring the baby home. I've got Adam and Eve coming. I've got to have everything ready. You know, parents, remember that? You got the crib, and you did the walls, and you did the whole thing, and you're ready. You had to prepare, if you will, their environment before they got there. Well, God's doing the same thing right here. He's preparing the environment. He's getting it ready so that when we get here, it'll be all prepared, and everything will be in place. But if you read the account here in Genesis, you'll notice that he says on a repeated basis, once the creation process begins, it was after its kind. It was according to its kind. Even when we see that he makes not only these things here, but we see when he makes man, you know, everything was made according to its kind, the animals, after their kind. And that's a very, very key phrase here in creation because it's remarkable in light of what we know today scientifically. What it's saying is that with each creation, there is a built-in code that creates it after its kind. When it develops, when it makes, it will be after its kind. It stays within its kind, and it will be after its kind. It's as if there's this program behind the scenes process that makes a dog, a cat, a man, a tree, grass, grass. Today, we know what that is. We actually call it DNA. And now science has discovered there is a pre-programmed code that keeps everything after its kind. It's pre-designed. It's in there. And so we see that God has done this here in this pre-designed code. In 1 Corinthians 15, 38 and 39, it says, but God gives it a body as he pleases, that is each creation, to each seed its own body. And flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men and another kind of flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. And so we see that, you know, this code is built in, a dog, a cat, you can't change something into something else. And this, again, is where evolution runs into a brick wall. Because evolution claims that they have taken one animal and moved to a different kind. There is no evidence for that whatsoever. Today, dogs are still dogs. Cats are still cats. We don't have cogs and dats. There's not a mixture of these two, even though some claim, listen, here's what we do have. We have different varieties, and we have different variations. And what is amazing about God's creation is that within each dog, God has programmed in the DNA the variety of every dog on the planet. Did you know that? We now know DNA-wise that every single dog we have could come literally from one dog. All breeds, all sizes, everything. The same thing is true for every animal. All the variations, they are not evolving into something different. They're different variations, but they're still what? After their kind. Line up all the dogs. Every dog is still after its kind. Line up all the cats. Every cat is still after its kind. Line up humans. Every human is still after its kind. I mean, it's amazing here when you look at the different variations that God has. You know, I got a couple of ideas for you of the way that maybe some evolutionists might see it, but you know that we don't have a butter cat or a cat cow. You don't have a butter cat or a cat cow. You don't have like a catrilla or a sparrow tiger or tiger owl. You don't have those either. All right? Now, why did I do that? I'm being silly and having fun with it, but guys, that is exactly what the evolutionists would want you to believe. And let me say this. If indeed evolution is true and we did evolve, you would find creatures such as that in our world today. You would find dogs that are half dog, half something else. But what you find when you find dogs is what? Dogs. When you find cats, what do you find? Cats. When you find trees, what do you find? Trees. You know, you can get different varieties. You can crossbreed, but you can only do it within their kind. That's why God set the boundaries here. Even as he did for the ocean, he said you can only set the boundaries, and they're going to be after their kind. Now, again, this explains why Noah was able to take only two of each kind of animal into the ark, and we still have the number of species that we have today, or the number of variations, I should say. All he needed was one dog, or rather two dogs. All he needed was two cats. All he needed was just one of each, male and female. He didn't need, you know, Pekingese and you know, St. Bernard. And he didn't need all those. He just needed one. And then God from that had coded into the DNA everything needed to have what we have today. Science now knows that. And again, God exactly said that in his word. It shouldn't surprise us, but that science is slowly catching up. But we also should not be intimidated by a science that is slowly catching up with the word of God. And so, did you know that we have programmed in our DNA, even as a person, all the variations of people around the world are programmed in your DNA? Different body types, different eye types, different skin colors could be taken from your DNA. Now the question comes up, well then why do we see certain areas and certain people groups that seem to be dominated in different areas, different eye types, different skin color, whatever it might be? It's because as those people, as those traits and those variations were brought out in the different DNA codes, those people began to group together because you want to be around the kind you're like. As everybody began to be a certain way, well, he's got eyes like me, I'm going with that group. Well, he's got this like me, and they begin to group, and so therefore, you see this kind of grouping together. But all the variations are within each of us. Now, you don't see it happen. You don't see someone typically that both have the same skin color having a child with a different skin color. That does happen on rare occasion, depending on how closely families have been intermarried. But the bottom line is, the reason you don't is because everything is being tailored by the bodies and through this process, coding for where we are as people and where we are as individuals. But understand, there's nothing that's not explainable through the DNA as to why we have different varieties, not only of people, but of animals and everything else. So he says, notice this, everything after its kind and according to its kind. And notice he says at the end, so the evening and the morning were the third day. So God is done with the third day. Now we move on to day four. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Now we come to God's creation here, if you notice, of the sun and the moon and the stars and putting them all into place. Now, again, let me say this. When it comes to the sun and the moon and the stars, the first thing I want to point out is that God created them simply for beauty. Now, that's not the only reason God created them, but God created them for beauty. In Job 26:13, notice what it says, by his spirit he adorned the heavens. It's like he decorated. It's like jewelry. And even as a woman puts on her jewelry and it sparkles and twinkles, when you look at the stars at night, what do? They sparkle. They twinkle. God's jewelry in the universe, earrings hanging from different constellations, sparkling rings of light all over the sky that God has taken his fingers, the Bible says, and placed in certain position as he's adorned the heavens. But now it's not just for beauty, but there's a greater purpose as well. Notice what they were created for. First, to divide day from night. So again, they divide the day from the night. You know when day is, you know when night is, by which one is shining its glory, if you will. Secondly, for signs and seasons. Now, this is interesting. For signs here, there's a fascinating evidence that God has placed the gospel in the very constellation themselves. And we're not going to go into that, but if you want to do a study, you'll find that there are many ancient writings and that I believe have great merit to them, that the actual constellations themselves and all of the different groupings of stars preach the gospel. If you line them up, they preach the gospel from the heavens.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis, the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.